Now, a new classic serial and the first in a two-part adaptation for BBC Radio 4 by Tom Holland.
The Iliad by Homer. Episode 1. In pursuit of the beautiful Helen, stolen by Trojan Prince Paris, an Achaean battle fleet has sailed from Greece. For 9 years, the army of the Achaeans has lain encamped on the plain before Troy. But still the great city stands, and in the Achaean ranks, failure breeds resentment and feuding. Christopher Eccleston plays Achilles, the Achaeans' greatest warrior. Ian Glenn plays Hector, his enemy, and Troy's greatest warrior. And Derek Jacobi is the voice of Homer.
Rage, goddess. Sing the rage of Peleus' son Achilles, murderous, doomed, that cost the Achaeans countless losses, hurling down to the house of death so many sturdy souls, great fighters' souls, but made their bodies carrion, feasts for the dogs and birds, and the will of Zeus was moving toward its end. Begin, Muse, when the two Achaeans first broke and clashed. Agamemnon, lord of men, and brilliant Achilles. What god drove them to fight with such a fury? Apollo, the son of Zeus and Leto. His priest, Chryses, approached the Achaeans' fast ships where they lay long and black upon the Trojan shore to win his daughter back, bringing a ransom of gold, and bearing, high in hand, wound on a golden staff, the wreaths of the god, the distant, deadly archer. He begged the whole Achaean army, but most of all the two supreme commanders, Atreus' two sons.
Agamemnon, Menelaus, all Achaeans geared for war. May the gods who hold the halls of Olympus give you Priam's city to plunder. Then safe passage home. Just set my daughter free, my dear one. Here, accept this gold, this ransom. Honor the god who strikes from worlds away, the son of Zeus, Apollo.
But his appeal brought no joy to the heart of Agamemnon. The king dismissed the priest with a brutal order ringing in his ears.
Never again, old man, let me catch sight of you by the hollow ships. The staff and wreaths of a god will never save you then.
The girl?
I won't give up the girl. Now go. Don't tempt my wrath. And you may depart alive.
The old man was terrified. He obeyed the order, turning, trailing away in silence down the shore, where the battle lines of breakers crash and drag.
Hear me, Apollo, god of the silver bow, god of the plague. If I ever roofed a shrine to please your heart, ever burned the long, rich bones of bulls and goats on your holy altar, now! Now bring my prayer to pass! Pay the Achaeans back your arrows for my tears!
His prayer went up, and Phoebus Apollo heard him. Down he strode from Olympus peaks, storming at heart, with his bow and plague arrows slung across his shoulders. The arrows clanged at his back as the god quaked with rage. Over against the ships, he dropped to his knee, let fly a shaft, and a terrifying clash rang out from the great silver bow. First, he went for the mules and circling dogs, but then, launching a piercing shaft at the men themselves, he cut them down in droves. And the corpse fires burned on, night and day, no end in sight. 9 days the arrows of the gods swept through the army, and on the 10th, Achilles called all ranks to muster.
The gods enraged, because Agamemnon spurned his priest. He refused to free his daughter. He refused the ransom. That's why Apollo sends the plague, and he will send us more until we give back the girl to her loving father, Chryses, the priest of Apollo.
So he declared and sat down. But among them rose the fighting son of Atreus, lord of the far-flung kingdoms, Agamemnon. Furious, his dark heart filled to the brim, blazing with anger now, his eyes like searing fire.
Oh, brute it about as fact! Why the deadly archer multiplies our pains? Because I refuse that glittering ransom for Chryses' daughter. But I am willing to give her back, even so, if that is best for all. Only fetch me another prize, and straight off too, else I alone of the Achaeans go without my honor.
Just how, Agamemnon, most grasping man alive, how can the generous Achaeans give you prizes now? I know of no troves of treasure piled, lying idle anywhere. Whatever we dragged from towns, we plundered. All's been portioned out. But collect it? Call it back from our foot soldiers? That would be the disgrace. So return the girl to the god, at least for now.
Oh, no, you won't get past me. Take me in that way. What do you want? To cling to your own prize while I sit calmly by, empty-handed here? I will be there in person at your tents, Achilles, to take your slave girl in all her beauty, your own prize, so you can learn just how much greater I am than you.
He broke off, and anguish gripped Achilles. The heart in his rugged chest was pounding, torn. Should he draw the long, sharp sword slung at his hip, thrust through the ranks and kill Agamemnon now? Or check his rage and beat his fury down? But just as he drew his huge blade from its sheath, down from the vaulting heavens swept Athena. Only Achilles saw her, none of the other fighters. Struck with wonder, he spun round. He knew her at once. Pallas Athena. The terrible blazing of those eyes.
Down from the skies I come to check your rage. The Queen of Heaven, Hera, sped me down. She loves you both. She cares for you both alike. Stop this fighting now. Don't lay hand to sword. Hold back now. Obey us both.
I must. When the two of you hand down commands, goddess, a man submits though his heart breaks with fury. Better for him by far. If a man obeys the gods, they're quick to hear his prayers.
And with that, Achilles stayed his burly hand on the silver hilt. He would not fight the orders of Athena. Soaring home to Olympus, she rejoined the gods aloft in the halls of Zeus, heaven's mighty king. But Achilles rounded on Agamemnon once again.
Staggering drunk, with your dog's eyes, your fawn's heart. I have no mind to linger here, disgraced, brimming your cup and piling up your plunder. Someday, I swear, a yearning for Achilles will strike Achaeus' sons and all your armies. But then, Agamemnon, harrowed as you will be, nothing you can do can save you. Not when your hordes of fighters drop and die, cut down by the hands of man-killing Hector. Then you will tear your heart out, desperate, raging that you disgraced me, the best of the Achaeans.
Achilles strode off to his trim ships and shelters, back to his friend Patroclus and their comrades. Agamemnon had a vessel hauled down to the sea and led Chryses' daughter in all her beauty amidships. The party launched out on the sea's foaming lanes, while the son of Atreus told his troops to wash, to purify themselves from the filth of the plague. Then he called his two heralds, ready, willing aides.
Go to Achilles' lodge. Take his captive at once, his beautiful slave girl, his prize, by the hand, and bring her here.
They obeyed their great king's command, and found Achilles beside his lodge and black hull, seated grimly.
You're not to blame. No one but Agamemnon. He lacks the sense to see a day will come when his armies need me, to save their ranks from ignominious stark defeat and safeguard the Achaeans battling by their ships. Go, Patroclus, prince. Bring out the girl. Hand her to them so they can take her back.
Patroclus obeyed his great friend's command. He led the slave girl in all her beauty from the lodge and handed her over to the men to take away. And the two walked back along the Achaean ships, while she trailed on behind, reluctant every step. But Achilles wept, and slipping away from his companions, far apart sat down on the beach of the heaving grey sea and scanned the endless ocean. He wept and prayed, and his noble mother Thetis heard him, seated near her father, the old man of the sea, in the salt green depths. Suddenly, up she rose from the churning surf like mist, and settling down beside him as he wept, Achilles, stroked Achilles gently, Achilles, whispering his name.
Achilles, Achilles.
Mother, go to Olympus, plead with his Zeus, persuade him somehow to help the Trojan cause, to pin the Achaeans back against their ships, so even mighty Agamemnon can see how mad he was to disgrace Achilles, the best of the Achaeans.
Nor did Thetis neglect her son's appeal. Soaring up to the broad sky in Mount Olympus, she found the son of Cronus gazing down on the world.
Zeus, Father Zeus, if I ever served you well, bring this prayer to pass. Honor my son, Achilles, for now the lord of men, Agamemnon, has disgraced him, seizes and keeps his prize, tears her away himself. But you, exalt him, Olympian Zeus, your urgings rule the world. Come, grant the Trojans victory after victory, till the Achaean armies pay my dear son back, building higher the honor he deserves.
And Zeus, the son of Cronus, bowed. His craggy dark brows and the deathless locks came pouring down from the thunderhead of the great immortal king, and giant shock waves spread through all Olympus. That night, he sent a murderous dream to Agamemnon. It went winging off, and passing quickly along the fast-trimmed ships made for the king, and found him soon, sound asleep in his tent. Hovering at his head, the vision rose like Odysseus, Laertes' son, the chief Agamemnon honored most.
Still asleep, Agamemnon. Listen to me quickly. For 9 years, our ship timbers have rotted, our cables snapped and frayed. And across the sea, our wives and helpless children wait in the halls, wait for our return. But now Zeus commands you to arm your long-haired Achaeans, to attack at once, full force. Now we can take the broad streets of Troy.
And rousing himself from sleep, the divine voice swirling round him, Agamemnon sat up, bolt awake. He commanded heralds to cry out loud and clear and summon the long-haired Achaeans to battle. As ravening fire rips through big stands of timber high on a mountain ridge and the blaze flares miles away, so from the marching troops the blaze of bronze armor, splendid and superhuman, flared across the earth, flashing into the air to hit the skies, sweeping through the plain at blazing speed. In Troy as well, they rushed to arms. All the gates were flung wide, and the Trojan mass surged out. tall Hector, Priam's son, with helmet flashing in the lead. Priam's son, and in his command, by far the greatest, bravest army, divisions harnessed in armor, veterans bristling spears, horses, chariots, men on foot behind him, with cries and the din of war like wildfowl when the long hoarse cries of cranes sweep on against the sky and the great formations flee from winter's grim, ungodly storms. The noise of battle brought King Priam to the looming Scaean gate, and white-armed Helen too, her heart filled with yearning, warm and deep, for her abandoned husband Menelaus, her city, and her parents. Quickly cloaking herself in shimmering linen, out of her rooms she rushed, live tears welling, and catching sight of her, moving along the ramparts, the old chiefs of Troy, as they sat aloft the tower, murmured to one another, gentle, winged words, clear as cicadas settled on treetops, lifting their voices through the forest, rising softly, falling, dying away.
Who on earth could blame them?
Oh, no wonder.
The men of Troy and Achaeans under arms have suffered years of agony, all for her.
As such a woman, beauty, terrible beauty.
They murmured low, but Priam, raising his voice, called across to Helen.
Come over here, dear child. Sit in front of me, so you can see your husband of long ago, your kinsmen, and your people.
And all for me. All are here for me, whore that I am. And your son, who stole me, blind, mad Paris. Oh, the two of us. Zeus planted a killing doom within us both.
I don't blame you. I hold the gods to blame. They're the ones who brought this war upon me. Devastating war against the Achaeans.
If only death had pleased me then. Grim death. That day I followed your son Paris to Troy, forsaking Menelaus, my kinsman, and my child. Oh, how I wish some black whirlwind had rushed me into the surf, where the roaring breakers crash and drag, and the waves had swept me off before all this had happened. But the gods ordained it all.
And meanwhile, Paris himself, magnificent as a god, the skin of a leopard slung across his shoulders, marked Menelaus in the Achaean front line, the man from whom he had stolen long-haired Helen. Menelaus, too, was thrilled at heart. Princely Paris there, right before his eyes, the outlaw, the adulterer. Now for revenge, he thought. And down he leapt from his chariot, fully armed, and hit the ground. But Paris, right in the no man's land, along the lines he strode, gripping his spear mid-haft, staving men to a standstill. The long-haired Achaean archers aimed at Paris, till King Odysseus cried out in a ringing voice,
"Hold back, Achaeans! Stop your salvos! Look, Paris, with that flashing helmet of his! The man is trying to tell us something now!"
They held their attack. Quickly, men fell silent.
Hear me, Trojans. Achaeans, geared for combat, hear the challenge of Paris. Pit me against Menelaus. Right between the lines, we'll fight it out for Helen and all her wealth.
A hushed silence held the ranks. And Menelaus, whose cry could marshal armies, urged both sides.
Now hear me out as well. Such limited vengeance hurts me most of all, but I intend that we will part in peace at last, Trojans and Achaeans.
Look what heavy casualties you have suffered just for me. My violent quarrel and Paris, who brought it on you all. Now we'll fight! And death to the one marked out for doom and death!
Death! Death! Death! Death!
The Achaean and Trojan forces both exulted, hoping this would end the agonies of war. They hauled their chariots up in ranks, at rest. The troops dismounted and stripped away their arms and laid them down on the earth. Crowded together, hardly a foot of ploughland showed between them. Priam's son, Prince Hector, and Royal Odysseus measured off the ground for a single combat first, then dropped two stones in a helmet. Lots for casting who would be the first to hurl his bronze-tipped spear. The armies prayed and stretched their hands to the gods. As tall Hector, eyes averted under his flashing helmet, shook the two lots hard, and Paris' lot leapt out. Magnificent Paris, fair-haired Helen's consort, brandished his spear, tense with fury. Suddenly, he hurled. His spear's long shadow flew, and the shaft hit Menelaus' round shield, full center, not pounding through. The brazen point bent back in the tough armor. But his turn next. Menelaus, shaking his spear, he hurled. And its long shadow flew. And the shaft hit Paris' round shield, hit full center, ripping down and in through the breastplate finely worked, tearing the war shirt close by Paris' flank it jabbed. But the Trojan swerved aside and dodged black death. So now Menelaus drew his sword with silver studs and, hoisting the weapon high, brought it smashing down on the helmet ridge. But the blade smashed where it struck, jagged shatters flying. It dropped from the hand of Menelaus, who lunged at Paris, grabbing his horsehair crest, swinging him round, starting to drag him into Achaean lines. And now the braided chin strap holding his helmet tight was gouging his soft throat. Paris was choking, strangling. But Aphrodite, Zeus's daughter, quick to the mark, snapped the rawhide strap cut from a bludgeoned ox. And the helmet came off, empty, in Menelaus' fist. Back at his man he sprang, enraged, with brazen spear, mad for the kill. But Aphrodite snatched Paris away. Easy work for a god. Wrapped him in swirls of mist and set him down in his bedroom, filled with scent. Then off she went herself to summon Helen, who knew the goddess at once. The long, lithe neck, the smooth, full breasts, and the fire in those eyes. Shrouding herself in her glinting silver robes, Helen went along in silence. The goddess led the way, and once they arrived at Paris' sumptuous halls, the attendants briskly turned to their own work, as Helen, in all her radiance, climbed the steps to the bedroom under the high vaulting roof. Paris led the way. His wife went with him. And now, while the two made love in the large carved bed, Menelaus stalked like a wild beast up and down the lines. And Marshal Agamemnon called out to the armies.
Hear me now, you Trojans, Dardans, Trojan allies. Clearly, victory goes to Menelaus, dear to Ares. You must surrender Helen and all her treasure with her.
His armies roared assent. But aloft by the side of Zeus, the gods sat in council, conferring across Olympus' golden floor.
So, now we plan how the war will all work out. Do we rouse the pain and grisly fighting once again? Or hand down pacts of peace between both armies? If only it might prove well and good to all, to every immortal god, men might still live on in Royal Priam's citadel. And Helen of Sparta? Menelaus just might lead her home again.
But Athena and Hera, Zeus's oxide queen, muttered between themselves, huddled together, plotting Troy's destruction. Until Hera could hold the anger in her breast no longer.
What are you saying? How can you think of making all my labor worthless? All gone for nothing? Mortal labor, the sweat I poured, my horses panting, spent from launching Achaea's armies, heaping pains on Priam and Priam's sons.
Insatiable Hera. How great are the pains that Priam and Priam's sons have heaped on you, that you rage on, relentless, forever bent on raising the world-built heights of Troy. Only if you could breach their gates and their long walls and devour Priam and Priam's sons and the Trojan armies raw. Then you just might cure your rage at last.
I am a god too, my descent the same as yours. So come, yield to me now on this one point.
Well, do as you please.
Then quickly, order Athena down to battle now, into the killing grounds of Trojans and Achaeans, and see that the Trojans break the sworn truce first and trample on the Achaeans in their triumph.
The father of men and gods complied at once. Like a shooting star, Athena flashed across the earth, plunging down in the midst of both camped forces. Terror gripped the fighters looking on. As Achaeans and Trojans wondered what was coming, Athena merged in the Trojan columns like a fighter. Then and there, she unstrapped a polished bow, flipped the lid of a quiver, plucked an arrow, fletched and never shot. A shaft of black pain. The bow sprang. The string sang out, arrow shot away, razor sharp and raging, to whip through Achaean ranks. The tip of the weapon grazed Menelaus' flesh, piercing the guard he wore to shield his loins, his best defense. The shaft pierced even this, and the dark blood came spurting from the wound. It went, staining, down the sturdy thighs and shins of Menelaus. The lord of men, Agamemnon, shuddered, frightened to see the dark blood gushing from the wound.
Dear brother, look how the Trojans have laid you low, trampling down our solemn binding truce. Transgressors will pay the price, a tremendous price, with their own heads, their wives, and all their children.
But the red-haired Menelaus tried to calm him down.
Courage. Don't alarm the men, not for a moment. The point's not lodged in a mortal spot. You see?
Pray God you're right, dear brother Menelaus. But the wound, a healer will treat it, apply drugs, and put a stop to the black waves of pain.
And all the while they worked over Menelaus, whose cry could marshal armies, the Achaeans donned their gear and roused their lust for war. Each captain ordered his men, and the ranks moved on in silence. You'd never think so many troops could march, holding their voices in their chests, all silent. At last, the armies clashed at one strategic point. They slammed their shields together, pike scraped pike, with the grappling strength of fighters armed in bronze, and their round shields pounded, boss on welded boss, and the sound of struggle roared and rocked the earth. Screams of men and cries of triumph breaking in one breath. Fighters killing, fighters killed, and the ground streamed blood. Wave on wave they came. Achaean battalions, ceaseless, surging on to war. Soon the Trojans began to waver. Like sheep when they hear their crying lambs, so the shouts rose up from the long Trojan lines, and not one cry, no common voice to bind them. And the next moment, they would have clambered back inside their city walls, terror-struck by the Achaeans, primed for battle. Down leapt Hector from his chariot, fully armed, hit the ground, and brandishing two sharp spears, went striding down his lines, ranging flank to flank, driving his fighters into battle, rousing grisly war, and round the Trojans whirled, racing to meet the Achaeans face to face. Hector shouted out to his men in a piercing voice,
"Now be men, my friends! Call up your battle fury, till I can return to Troy and tell them all, the old counselors, all our wives, to pray to the gods and vow to offer them many splendid victims."
As Hector turned for home, his helmet flashed, and the long, dark hide of his bossed shield, the rim running the metal edge, drummed his neck and ankles. And now, when he reached the Scaean gates and the great oak, the wives and daughters of Troy came rushing up around him, asking about their sons, brothers, friends, and husbands. But Hector told them only, "Pray to the gods." He came to Priam's palace, that magnificent structure built wide with porches and colonnades of polished stone. And there, at the palace, Queen Hecuba met her son, clutched his hand, and urged him, called his name.
"My child, why have you left the bitter fighting? Why have you come home? Oh, look how they wear you out, the sons of Achaea. Curse them, battling round our walls. But wait, I'll bring you some honeyed, mellow wine. When a man's exhausted, wine will build his strength."
"Don't offer me mellow wine, mother, not now. You'd sap my limbs, I'd lose my nerve for war. And I'd be ashamed to pour a glistening cup to Zeus with unwashed hands. I'm spattered with blood and filth. No, mother, you are the one to pray. Go to Athena's shrine, the queen of plunder. Promise to sacrifice 12 heifers in her shrine. Yearlings never broken, if only she'll pity Troy, the Trojan wives, and all our helpless children."
At that, Hector turned and hurried from the palace, back by the same way, down the wide, well-paved streets throughout the city, until he reached the Scaean gates, the last point he would pass to gain the field of battle. There, his warm, generous wife came running up to meet him, Andromache, the beloved of bronze-helmed Hector. She joined him now, and following in her steps, a servant holding the boy against her breast. In the first flush of life, only a baby, Hector's son, the darling of his eyes, and radiant as a star. The great man of war, breaking into a broad smile, his gaze fixed on his son, in silence. Andromache, pressing close beside him and weeping freely now, clung to his hand, urged him, called him.
"Reckless one, my Hector, your own fiery courage will destroy you. Have you no pity for him, our helpless son? Or me, and the destiny that weighs me down, your widow now so soon? Yes, soon they will kill you off, all the Achaean forces massed for assault. And then, bereft of you, better for me to sink beneath the earth. Pity me, please. Take your stand on the rampart here, before you orphan your son and make your wife a widow."
"All this weighs on my mind too, dear woman. For in my heart and soul I also know this well. The day will come when sacred Troy must die. Priam must die, and all his people with him. Even so, it is less the pain of the Trojans still to come that weighs me down, not even of Hecuba herself, or King Priam, or the thought that my own brothers may tumble in the dust, crushed by enemies. That is nothing, nothing beside your agony when some brazen Achaean hails you off in tears, wrenching away your day of light and freedom. No, no. Let the earth come piling over my dead body before I hear your cries. I hear you dragged away."
In the same breath, shining Hector reached down for his son. But the boy recoiled, cringing against his nurse's full breast, screaming out at the sight of his own father. Terrified by the flashing bronze, the horsehair crest, the great ridge of the helmet, nodding, bristling terror, so it struck his eyes. And his loving father laughed, quickly lifting the helmet from his head, and raising his son, he kissed him, tossed him in his arms.
Zeus, all you immortals, grant this boy, my son, may be like me, first in glory among the Trojans, strong and brave like me, and rule all Troy in power, and one day let them say he is a better man than his father.
Then Hector placed his son in the arms of his wife. Andromache pressed the child to her scented breast, smiling through her tears.
Andromache, no man will hurl me down to death against my fate. And fate? No man alive has ever escaped it, neither brave man nor coward. I tell you, it's born with us the day that we are born.
And his loving wife went home, turning, glancing back again and again, and weeping live, warm tears. But Hector, a flash in arms, took up his horsehair-crested helmet once again. Vaunting, a flash in arms, he swept out through the gates, bent on combat, fighting like wind when a god sends down some welcome blast to sailors, desperate for it, work to death the polished oars, beating the heavy seas, their arms slack with the labor. So, welcome Hector appeared to the Trojans, desperate for their captain. Shields slammed together, pike scraped pike, and the sound of struggle roared and rocked the earth. Screams of men and cries of triumph breaking in one breath, fighters killing, fighters killed, and the ground streamed blood. The Olympian father had fired up the Trojans. Hector, far in the lead, bristling in all his force, harrying the long-haired Achaeans, killing the last stragglers, man after lagging man. And they fled in panic, a total rout. And white-armed Hera saw it. And filled with pity, the goddess' words went winging toward Athena.
Look, daughter of Zeus, whose shield is thunder, all our Achaeans dying there in droves. This maniac, Hector, I cannot bear him any longer. Look at the savage slaughter he has made.
But Zeus, who marshals the thunderheads, replied,
this powerful Hector will never quit the fighting. Not till swift Achilles rises beside the ships. That day they battle against the high sterns, pinned in the fatal straits and grappling for the body of Patroclus. So runs the doom of Zeus. I care nothing for you. You and your snarling anger. None in the world a meaner bitch than you!
So he erupted, but the white-armed goddess Hera answered not a word, her eyes wide, shuddering before his thunder. And now, down in the ocean, sank the fiery light of day, drawing the dark night across the grain-giving earth. For the men of Troy, the day went down against their will, but not the Achaeans. What a blessing! How they prayed for the nightfall coming on across their lines. But again, still bent on glory, Hector mustered his Trojan cohorts, pulled them back to wide open ground, where they found a sector free and cleared of corpses. They swung down from their chariots onto earth to listen to what Hector, dear to Zeus, commanded now.
Hear me, Trojans, Dardans, all our loyal allies. I had hoped by now, once we destroyed them all the Achaeans and all their hollow ships, we might turn home to the windy heights of Troy. But night came on too soon. That's what saved them. That alone, they and their ships along the churning surf. Very well, then. Let us give way to the dark night, set out our supper, unyoke our fool man teams. Then all night long, till the breaking light of day, we keep the watch fires blazing, hundreds of fires, and the rising glare can leap and hit the skies, so the long-haired Achaeans stand no chance tonight to cut and run on the sea's broad back.
The Trojans roared assent, and so their spirit soared all night long, and the watchfires blazed among them, hundreds strong, as stars in the night sky glittering round the moon's brilliance blaze in all their glory when the air falls to a sudden windless calm. And beside each fire sat 50 fighting men. Poised in the leaping blaze and champing oats and glistening barley, stationed by their chariots, stallions waited for dawn to mount her glowing throne. So the Trojans held their watch that night. But not the Achaeans. God-sent panic seized them, comrade of blood-curdling rout. All their best were struck by grief too much to bear. Lord Marshal Agamemnon rose up in their midst, streaming tears, like a dark spring running down some desolate rock face, its shaded currents flowing.
Mad, blind I was to have infuriated Achilles, to have gone and taken from his tents his slave coat. Why, look, that man is worth an entire army. But since I was blinded, lost in my own inhuman rage, now, at last, I am bent on setting things to rights. I'll give a priceless ransom to him, and along with it will go the one I took away at first, Achilles captive. And I will swear a solemn binding oath in the bargain. I never mounted her bed, never once made love with her. Now, all these gifts will be handed him at once. Come. We'll send a detail of picked men. Giant Ajax and tactful royal Odysseus. Try hard now. Bring him round, invincible Achilles.
So Ajax and Odysseus made their way at once where the battle lines of breakers crash and drag, praying hard to the god who moves and shakes the earth that they might bring the proud heart of Achilles round with speed and ease. Reaching the Myrmidon shelters and their ships, they found him there, delighting his heart now, plucking strong and clear on a fine lyre, while across from him, Patroclus sat alone, in silence. The envoys stood before him, and Achilles, startled, sprang to his feet, the lyre still in his hands.
Welcome! Look! Dear friends have come our way. I must be sorely needed now, my dearest friends. In all the Achaean armies, even in my anger.
Come, a bigger wine bowl. Patroclus, set it here.
Odysseus filled his cup and lifted it toward Achilles.
Your health, great king. But it's not the flowing feast that is on our mind now. No, a stark disaster. Hector prays for the sacred dawn to break at once. He threatens to lop the high prows of our sterns and gut our ships with fire. And all our comrades pinned against the hulls, panicked by thick smoke, he'll rout and kill in blood.
But I have no desire to battle glorious Hector.
Achilles, let your heart-devouring anger go. Think of the glory. Now you can kill Hector. Now, for once, you can meet the man head on.
Tomorrow at daybreak, once I have sacrificed to Zeus and all the gods and loaded up my holds and launched out on the breakers, watch, my friend. And you will see my squadron sail at dawn, fanning out on the Hellespont that swarms with fish.
Sail home? Is that what you are turning over in your mind, O glorious one, Achilles? Have you no heart at all to defend the ditch and wall which guard our fast-trim ships?
Mother tells me, the immortal goddess Thetis with her glistening feet, that two fates bear me on to the day of death. If I hold out here and I lay siege to Troy, My journey home is gone, but my glory never dies. If I voyage back to the fatherland I love, my pride, my glory dies. True. But the life that's left me will be long. The stroke of death will not come on me quickly.
Then giant Ajax rose to his feet, tall as a god, and broke his silence.
Ready, Odysseus. Come. Back we go now. There's no achieving our mission here, I see. Achilles, the gods have planted a cruel, relentless fury in your chest. Not a thought for your comrade's love. Hard, ruthless man.
Ajax, my heart still heaves with rage whenever I call to mind that arrogance of his, Agamemnon, treating me like some vagabond. You go back to him and declare my message. I will not think of arming for bloody war again. Not till the son of wise King Priam, dazzling Hector, batters through the ditch and wall which guard our ships, slaughtering Achaeans, gutting the hulls with fire.
Then, each man, lifting his own two-handled cup, poured it out to the gods. And back they went along the ships, Odysseus in the lead, and once the envoys reached Agamemnon's shelters, comrades leapt to their feet, welcomed them, one after another, pressing them with questions. But as steady, long-enduring Odysseus replied, silence held them all. His story struck them dumb. A long while they said nothing. Spirits dashed. But when dawn rose up from her bed, bringing light to immortal gods and mortal men, Zeus flung strife on Achaea's fast ships, the brutal goddess flaring his storm shield, his monstrous sign of war in both her fists. She stood on Odysseus' huge black-bellied hull, moored mid-line, so a shout could reach both wings. Upshore to Telamonian Ajax's camp, or down to Achilles. There strife took her stand, raising her high-pitched cry, great and terrible, lashing the fighting fury in each Achaean's heart. No stopping them now, mad for war and struggle. Now, suddenly, battle thrilled them more than the journey home, than sailing hollow ships to their dear native land. And retiring to a peak apart from the other gods, Zeus sat aloof, glorying in his power, gazing out over the city walls of Troy and the warships of Achaea. The flash of bronze, fighters killing, fighters killed. Trojans, the other side on the plain's high ground, formed around tall Hector, trampling shields and corpses. The axle under Hector's chariot splashed with blood. Blood on the handrails sweeping round the car, sprays of blood shooting up from the stallion's hoofs and churning, whirling rims. And Hector, straining to wade into the press and panicked ruck of men, charged them, break them down. He flung terror and stark disaster square in the Achaean lines, never pausing, giving his spear no rest. The Achaean trench could not hold out much longer, nor could the rampart rearing overhead, the wide wall they raised to defend the ships and the broad trench they drove around it all. But not yet did the Achaeans give way to assault. No, they stopped the breaches up with oxhide shields. And down from the breastwork heights, they hurled rocks at the enemy coming on beneath the wall. Everywhere, rocks, ramparts, breastworks swam with the blood of Trojans, Achaeans, both sides. So powerful armies drew their battle line dead even. Till, at last, Zeus gave Hector, the son of Priam, the greater glory. The first to storm the wall.
Drive! Drive, my stallion-breaking Trojans! Breach the Achaean rampart! Hurl your fire now, a blazing inferno of fire against their ships!
He grappled a boulder, bore it up and on, hurled it at the gates full center, smashing the hinges left and right, and the boulder tore through, dropped with a crash, and both gates groaned and thundered. The door bars could not hold. The planking shattered up in the flying storm of splinters under the rock's force. And Hector burst through in glory, his face dark with the sudden rushing night. But he blazed on in bronze, and terrible fire broke from the gear that wrapped his body. Two spears in his fist.
The wall! Storm the wall!
The Trojans rushed to obey him, some swarming over the top at once, others streaming in through the sturdy gateways. Achaeans scattering back in terror. Back by the hollow hulls, the uproar rising. No way out, no end. Not so loud the breakers bellowing out against the shore, driven in from open sea by the north wind's brutal blast. Not so loud the roar of fire whipped to a crackling blaze. Nothing so loud as cries of Trojans, cries of Achaeans. Terrible war cries, armies storming against each other. Up and down the decks of the ships, Ajax went, with his great plunging strides, swinging in hand his enormous polished pike for fights at sea, leaping from deck to deck on the fast, trim ships, keeping up a terrific bellowing, calling Achaeans on to defend the ships and shelters. And Hector too, like a flashing eagle swooping down on bird flocks, winged thousands feeding, swarming a river's bank. So swooping, Hector went headfirst at a warship, charged its purple prow, and Zeus behind him, Zeus himself defended his champion. Hector alone he prized and glorified among hordes of men, for Hector's life would be cut short so soon. Thrust him on with his mighty, deathless hand, urging the soldiers on who crowded Hector's back. And again, a desperate battle broke at the ships. You'd think they waded into the fighting fresh troops. Unbruised, unbroken, they fought with such new fire. And what were the fighters thinking? Only this. The Achaeans, certain they'd never flee the worst. They'd perish then and there. But the hope soared in every Trojan's heart to torch the ships and slaughter Achaean heroes. So ran their thoughts, closing for the kill. At last, Hector grappled a ship's stern, a beauty built for speed. And Hector held fast, hugging its prow.
Bring fire! Up the war cries, all together!
Harder, his forces charged against the Achaeans. Not even Ajax held his post, no longer now. Forced by the spears, he backed away by inches, certain he'd die there. There he stood, tensing, braced to take them on.
Friends, fighting Achaeans, fight! The light of safety lies in our fighting hands. You think we have reserves in the rear to back us up? Some stronger wall to shield our men from disaster? No! We are here on the plain of Troy, all Troy's in arms. Dug in, backs to the sea, land of our fathers far away.
And any Trojan crashing against the beaked ships, torch ablaze in hand, straining to please Hector, who urged him on. Ajax, ready and waiting there, would stab each man with his long, rugged pike. 12 he impaled, point blank, struggling up the hulls. But at length, Ajax could hold his post on the decks no longer. He was overwhelmed by the latest salvos, driven back by the will of Zeus and the fearless Trojan spearmen, hurling blows non-stop, a terrific din at his temples, his shining helmet clashing under repeated blows, and the joint of his left shoulder ached with labor, forever bracing his huge burnished shield rock steady. He fought for breath, gasping, bathed in sweat, rivering down his body, his limbs soaked and sleek. Where could he find some breathing room in battle? Wherever he looked, pains heaped on pains. Sing to me now, you muses, you who hold Olympus' vaulting halls, how fire was first pitched on Achaea's ships. Hector lunged at Ajax, toe to toe, hacked his ashwood pike with a heavy sword and struck the socket just behind the point, the lopped head bounding away, clanging along the ground. So Ajax drew back, out of range, and then they flung their tireless fire at a fast, trim ship. She was up in flames at once, engulfed in quenchless fire. In a flash, the blaze went swirling round the stern, and deep in his heart, brave Ajax knew and shuddered. Here was work of the gods, thundering Zeus on high, cutting him off from battle, dashing all his plans.
Part 1 of Homer's The Iliad, Achilles was played by Christopher Eccleston and Hector by Ian Glenn. Agamemnon was Bill Wallace, Helen, Imogen Stubbs, and Chryses, Clive Mantle. Athena was played by Susanna Hamilton, Hera by Mia Sotiriou, and Odysseus by Michael Elwin. Priam was Andrew Sachs, Paris, Tom Espiner, and Menelaus, John McKay. Thetis was played by Jacqueline Tong, Zeus by Michael Fenton Stevens, and Homer by Derek Jacobi. The Iliad was translated by Robert Fagles and abridged for Radio 4 by Tom Holland. The music was composed by Mia Sotiriou and the sound supervisor was Mike Burgess. The programme was produced and directed in Bristol by Viv Beebe and Jeremy Howe.
If you'd like to hear part one again, well, you can, next Saturday evening at 9 o'clock. And you can hear the second part of the Iliad at the same time, 3 o'clock, next Sunday afternoon.